Envision a world in which a country which can't stand America has a nuclear weapon. The Democrat approach comes down to this. The terrorists win and America loses.
Yeah, that's what us Democrats want. We want the terrorists to win and America to lose. Yeah, absolutely. And we want to have sex with our boyfriends. And we want to kill all unborn babies. And what else do we want to do? Take away the SUVs and raise your taxes and not allow you to burn charcoal in your backyard anymore. Son of a bitch, we are really evil people. We Democrats, aren't we? Raisin Brain. There he was, stumping in Perry, Georgia, yesterday for Mac Collins. If you've never been to Perry, Georgia, oh well, no, never mind. I said that last night, didn't I? Anyway, there was Raisin Brain in Perry, Georgia yesterday. That, you know what that means. First of all, it means George is going to talk like this. He's going to drop all the G's on the ends of his words with ING on them. I've been thinking about running, you know, that sort of thing. And it also means moron sounds on the program tonight from George W. Bush. It's hard to believe that he's actually using the bloody, chaotic, death-filled nightmare that he created in Iraq as a reason to tell the Republicans to go ahead and vote for Republicans, to vote for them. I know it's overworked. Orwellian newspeak, you know, everybody, well, that's very Orwellian. But dear God, what do you call this? What do you call it? There he stands in front of these crackers down in South Georgia. Having led this country, taken this country into the worst debacle since Vietnam, and he has the nerve to stand there and criticize John Kerry? Oh, my God. Anyway, he spoke in very simple phrases when he was in South Georgia. Carl Rove said, now, George, these people are stupider than you are, so rein it in a little bit, okay? He was explaining in plain terms to the knuckle-draggers that if the Democrats get control of Congress, expect the evildoers to hit us with nuclear weapons! Oh, and higher taxes, too. See, George was down there talking to people who are on the verge of bankruptcy, who do not have jobs any longer. Perry, Georgia, that's where the Georgia State Fairgrounds is located. Huh? What'd you say there, Kathy?
That's where he was speaking.
Yeah,
from.
Yeah. Thank you. He was speaking at the
Georgia Agronama.
Agorama.
Agorama.
That's what they call it in South Georgia. Georgia, the Agorama. Agorama is what they call it. Huh? How's that? Is that a cool? Do you like that? I bet all you folks on the coast right now are snickering. Huh? You're going. You people in New York and California going Agorama. What in the hell? You got to live down here to appreciate Agorama. It's hard to say. It's real hard to say unless you have a mouthful of peanuts. Then you can say it. But there he was in. In South Georgia, telling these poor crackers down there, most of whom don't have jobs, these are farmers now who have been priced out of the market. The only thing that keeps them going is government price supports that you and I pay for. You know, Democrats, as well as brain-dead Republicans, this is where our tax money goes here domestically. Part of it, anyway, is to keep these price supports so the peanut industry doesn't collapse, or what's left of the cotton industry down here in South Georgia, or the soybean industry. There's no manufacturing jobs to speak of at all. And here comes George W. Bush telling these people that the Democrats want cut and run. We got to stay here and fight. That's what we got to do. Hell, you know how many bases y'all have here in Georgia? We got military bases here in Georgia. Oh, my God. I don't know. I've said this before. I can't watch it. I cannot watch him when he's on live. Kathy has to do it. I can't watch him. I've smashed too many $40 television sets here in the studio. I just can't do it. Anyway, it was really beyond the pale the way he characterized Democrats as spineless terrorist sympathizers who want to see Americans dead in the streets. Jesus, that's what it's come to in this country. You know, people yell about, send me emails or complain to managers sometimes. Well, Malloy said son of a bitch again last night. Well, Malloy even said goddamn the other night. Well, Malloy said this, Malloy said that. Oh, got to get him off the air. Here is George W. Bush telling, well, the whole country, because, you know, the media report on this. Telling the whole country that Democrats are terrorist sympathizers want to see other Americans dead in the streets. This is how disgusting and sick it's gotten. I'll tell you something. Jonathan Schell has a lengthy essay in the current issue of The Nation magazine. The torture election is how it's headlined. And if you don't subscribe to The Nation, then go online. You ought to be subscribing to it, frankly. But if you don't subscribe to The Nation, go online, nation.com. And read what Jonathan Schell has written about this election coming up on Tuesday, and pay attention. And the people in Perry, Georgia, who turned out for this sickening event are beyond hope. I mean, those people will vote for Bush if he were surrounded by brown shirts with newly designed swastikas on their arms, and as they hauled off these people's eldest to go fight another war of adventure for George Bush, they would still applaud him. That's how bad it is in South Georgia. Trust me on that, Truth Seeker. But the rest of the country, and people who consider themselves Republicans, but who keep tasting the bitter bile in the back of their throats every time they see one of these Republican so-called thugs on television, I'll tell you, you Republicans who still believe in Republicanism as a political philosophy and not as a club, You're really not going to vote for the Nazis, are you? I mean, are you really going to do that? Oh, man, I hope not. I hope not. But you probably will. So here he is telling the crackers in Perry, Georgia, that Democrats are spineless terrorist sympathizers who want to see Americans dead in the street. And it makes John Kerry's comments even more reasonable in comparison. But you won't hear Bush issue an apology, will you? No, of course not. And talking about apologies, yeah, he caved. He caved in today. Kerry did. What a shame. What a filthy shame. But do you remember the White House Correspondents' Dinner 2 years ago where Bush was out there in his tuxedo playing the fool? In other words, completely in character. And they played the video. I think it was a video where he was looking for the weapons of mass destruction. Remember that? Are they over here? No, not over here. Maybe they're over here. Are they over here? Oh, let's look under here. No, they're not here. Oh, they're not here? Did he apologize for that? Did he send telegrams to the parents of our dead soldiers? Because this son of a bitch lied us into a war by insisting that Saddam Hussein still had the weapons of mass destruction sold to him by Donald Rumsfeld and Dick Cheney. In a different incarnation. Did Bush apologize to the mothers and fathers back when the death toll of American servicemen and women was around 1,000? Did he say, hey, aha, I'm sorry. That was in poor taste at the White House Correspondents' Dinner last night. You know, when I'm looking under the rug and behind the lamp and under the commode seat. Are they over here? Are the weapons over here? No, are they over here? Oh, where are those? Gosh darn. Pesky weapons of mass destruction. Did he apologize for that? I wonder if the American soldiers and Marines who were still at hospitals in Germany or in the United States with their arms and legs blown off, their faces removed, half of their brains blown away, do you suppose when they saw that on television, they laughed? You think? Son of a bitch. What a coward. What a coward. And now they're making all this stink and smell and noise about Kerry because Kerry said something that was true. Whether or not Kerry should have said it probably is a point worth discussing among Democrats, but not these cowardly, half-witted doughboys like the fat man. Every time Limbaugh stops doing drugs, he blows up like a balloon. Have you noticed that? That's one way you know he's not doing drugs, at least not OxyContin. Oh, and John Boehner, the House Majority Leader, on Wolf Blitz's program today. John Boehner said, Wolf, I understand that things are going bad, but let's not blame what's happening in Iraq on Rumsfeld. Wolf Blitzer. But he's in charge of the military. Boehner. But the fact is the generals on the ground are in charge. So John Boehner, or as I affectionately refer to him, John the Boner, refers to the failure in Iraq and places it on the U.S. military. The soldiers are failing. That's what Boehner said today. Is he going to issue an apology? Is he, Truth Seeker? What do you think?
Armageddon is nigh. Does he care if children die? La 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 la. Put him in a straitjacket, there's no doubt. Let the psychiatrist figure him out. Listen while the demonstrators cheer and shout. We'll all feel better in the morning. We'll all feel better in the morning.
Has he mentioned yet tonight how much he hates these people? It's more Mike Malloy.
No, I don't think I have. I hate them to the breadth and depth and width my soul doth. What's the last word? I'm not very good with Robert Browning. You don't know either. All right. 22 past the hour. Oh, by the way, podcasting and downloads of the Malloy program are now available at novamradio.com. So snatch them up while they're fresh and hot. And I want to mention this before I get off on another tirade. Every night, if you've been a regular listener, you hear me give credit to certain people on this program, among whom our senior correspondent, Chris in Minnesota. That's how he wants to be identified. And Chris in Minnesota has been our senior correspondent for what, Gathy, 4 years? Going all the way back to IE America days. Well, he had his 29th birthday today. Yeah, he started with us when he was about 25, just a young sprout. I sent him an email today and said, I have food in my refrigerator older than that. And you know how much we pay him? Nothing. And that's not by choice. That's just reality. Anyway, Chris in Minnesota, 29 years old today. So a shout out to Chris, who has every morning, by the time I get on the computer, he has put together, researched, synopsized, and found maybe 20 topics, stories that he thinks are of interest to this program. And most of the days, several of those stories make it into that night's lineup. So Chris in Minnesota, who's 29 years old today, thank you for 5 years of doing what you've been doing, pal. Happy birthday. Happy birthday. Email from, Mike in St. Paul. He writes, Mike, I have a nephew that joined the Marines a few months back because he lost his job and he had no money for school. True, he wanted to serve his country. But if John Kerry were president, my nephew would be in the Marines now, but he wouldn't be preparing for deployment to Iraq. So I put forth the following questions, Mike writes, to those who have lambasted Kerry over the past 24 hours. Mr. Tony Snow, have you ever worn the uniform? Have you ever seen combat? Mr. George W. Bush, have you ever worn the Army, Navy, Air Force, or Marine uniform? Have you ever seen combat? Mr. Dick Cheney, have you ever worn the uniform? Have you ever seen combat? Mr. Donald Rumsfeld, have you ever seen combat? For those so-called patriot posers to criticize a combat veteran by distorting his words while at the same time they prepare to send my nephew to Iraq is tantamount to an act of treason. How dare they? Have no idea what the sacrifice entails. I'd venture to say they have no idea what it's like to even have a loved one face combat. Shame on them for getting us into this mess. And shame on them for lambasting those who have the guts to serve so others might not have to. I don't know where to go with this Kerry story. I said last night, I've gotten a couple of emails from people that said Kerry stuck his foot in it again. Because just when you think the media in this country are ready to really rip this filthy criminal administration to shreds, which is what media in this country should have been doing for the past since 2003, actually since September 11, 2001. Once we came out of a period of mourning, it became clear that the Bush crime family allowed, at the very least, allowed the attack on this country to go forward. Yeah, that's where I am. That's when the media in this country should have started clawing at these bastards for their foreign policy and their domestic policy. But no, they didn't. And media in this country were complacent. They were also complicit in allowing this corrupt, filthy administration and its degenerate Republican Party to go forward. So in the past couple of months, when Bush's so-called popularity rating sank to 30%, Cheney's to 18%, and the Congress to 16%, all of a sudden, media in this country found its voice, or so we thought. All of a sudden, oh, they're criticizing Republicans without going back to Chappaquiddick. Oh, they're criticizing Republicans without talking about Marilyn Monroe singing, "Happy Birthday, Mr. President." Just when you think media have turned the corner, the Kerry thing comes up. Ah, these evil bastards, huh? It's just been nonstop, hasn't it? So Kerry apologizes. Kerry apologizes. He says, quote, "I sincerely regret that my words were misinterpreted to wrongly imply anything negative about those in uniform, and I personally apologize to any service member, family member, or an American who is offended." Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Anybody with the sense God gave a bag of doorknobs would understand what Kerry meant when he said to students, "If you make an effort to be smart, you can do well. If you don't, you get stuck in Iraq." He was talking about Bush. But the Republicans have just had a field day, haven't they? These hypocritical bastards. Hasn't this been something really, really, really intense to watch? Haven't you felt like just crushing things with your bare hands? Haven't you watched these self-righteous thugs, these Republicans, this Bush criminal who has taken this country into two illegal wars, this Bush bastard who has caused grief and sorrow in thousands of American families and untold numbers of Iraqi families, sit back on his hind legs and talk about John Kerry?
That's right, you're not from Texas. That's right, you're not from Texas. Texas, won't you get away? That's right, you're not from Texas. That's right, you're not from Texas. That's right, you're not from Texas. Texas, won't you get away? That's right, you're not from Texas.
That's right, you're not protected. That's right, you're not protected. Won't you hear me? Who's sorry now? Who's sorry now? Whose heart is aching for breaking?
We face an enemy that is brutal. There is no negotiation with these people.
And of course, he's talking about Democrats. By the way, tomorrow night on this program, we're going to have John Lesh. He is running in Illinois' 14th district against Dennis Hastert, the corpulent Speaker of the House, the scandal-ridden Republican. From Illinois, John Lesh will be on the program when? First hour tomorrow, Kathy? Okay. So Kerry apologizes. Bush went on the Limbaugh program so that Limbaugh could get down on his rounded knees and do for George what Monica did for Bill. It's something horrible. They turned off the camera when that part was going on, the in-studio camera. Limbaugh told the president that military people in Iraq, quote, get insulted routinely. John Kerry's not the first, he's just the latest, Mr. President. And that's his thinking, Mr. Kerry's, on who compromises military members, that they're basically uneducated rubes, end quote. And I realize the quote I just gave you makes no sense, but that's Limbaugh talking. You know, he's off the Oxycontin, he's onto something else. But there he was on his knees with his head firmly between the president on the president's lap and saying, speaking more truth than Limbaugh has probably ever spoken in his life. The military people in Iraq get insulted routinely. You're damn right they do, fat boy. They get insulted by punks like you. By punks like in the White House and the civilians in the Department of Defense. They get insulted when they're not given the right equipment. They get insulted when they're sent into a war zone they have no business being in because of the psycho designs of people like Cheney and Rumsfeld and the neocons and the Project for a New American Century and Wolfowitz and Pearl and the rest of these right-wing bastards who have now run into the woodwork. Oh, I'm in charge of the World Bank. I don't have anything to do with that. Sorry, goodbye. So Limbaugh finally spoke some truth today. Soldiers, people in Iraq get insulted routinely. You bet they do, fat boy. They get insulted by the likes of you. How did you get out of the military? Huh? With a pimple on your butt? They get insulted when they get confusing orders about when to torture, who to torture, what their mission is, when they can go home, whether or not they have to stay the course. That's when they get insulted, fat boy, you disgusting punk. God, I'd like to be in a room alone with Rush Limbaugh. Oh,
Mike, you sound so macho.
No, I'm just, I'm pissed. Now, as you would expect, this is a part that just makes me really want to scream. I expect the Republican rats to be what they are. You know, long-tailed, vermin-eating vermin. But the Democrats... Democratic Party candidates around the country today are doing their best to separate themselves from Kerry. What the hell did Kerry say? And, of course, the Republicans are just sucking it up because this gets Foley off the front pages. This gets stolen elections and Diebold off the front pages. This gets this Blackwell thug in Ohio off the front pages. It gets 105 dead in Iraq in October off the front pages. And they're talking about Kerry. Last night when he was down here in Georgia with the crackers, Bush called Kerry's remarks insulting and shameful. You son of a bitch, what do you think your war is? What do you think your war is? Murderous and bloody. And today, Bush's top political whore, Karl Rove, told reporters at the White House that Kerry was suggesting that only stupid people are willing to volunteer to fight in our military, to go into harm's way in Iraq. If I'm ever around somebody who uses the term into harm's way, I think I will. I'll probably be jailed for assault. I hate that term. But you know, does Rove not know what Dick Cheney said back in the 60s? Or no, I mean what he said about the 60s when he was questioned by the Washington Post a couple of years ago. Why didn't you go in the military, Mr. Cheney? I had better things to do in the 60s than get involved in the military. That's what Republicans do. Democrats go serve. But here we sit, you know, I'm not talking about you and me, Truth Seeker, because we know the truth. But a hefty minority, what, 45% of the American public sits back on its ass and listens to Bush and listens to the audio tapes artfully engineered and edited by MSNBC and Fox and CNN and the rest of these thugs. And that huge chunk of America sits back on its ass and goes, yeah, well, that John Kerry. Yeah, that John Kerry. He insulted our boys. We have boys in Iraq, don't we? Yeah, we have boys in Iraq. Yeah, insulted our boys. We have girls there, too. We got girls there, too? What, are they taking girls out? Yeah, it's funny. You know what I would hope? Now, this is easy for me to say because I don't have children that are draft age. But I'd like to see the Democrats get control and then institute an immediate universal draft. How would that play with middle-class America? How would that play with the crackers down in South Georgia or Southern Illinois or Northern Minnesota or wherever these crackers live? How would that play, huh? All right, bring your boy down. We want him. No hiding. Come on, cannon fodder. But they're talking about Kerry. They're talking about Kerry. one GOP political consultant who did not want to be identified told ABC News, quote,
"Until this thing, we had serious morale problems in some places. What Kerry has done is give us more energy, more focus. That's very important in the final week of a campaign. People say maybe Kerry's screw-ups will get more Republicans to the polls."
Jesus, God. That's how stupid we're in this country. That's how stupid Republicans are. I mean, what the hell is wrong with you people, huh? Come on. Isn't your mind made? Aren't you Republicans smart enough to realize that no matter what, you know, Kerry could stand up there and say everyone who wears the uniform, the United States military is a damn fool. And it would not be anywhere near as corrupt and vile and filthy and murderous and bloody and disrespectful as what the Bush crime family has done by invading Iraq and putting our people into an urban war zone. Jesus God! 105 Americans were slaughtered last month. How many were killed by John Kerry's orders? None! How many were killed by George Bush's vanity? All of them! All of them! All of them! What are they fighting for? Tell me, Truth Seeker. What are our people fighting for in Iraq? What's the latest? What did it start out as? What is it today, tomorrow, next week? What are they fighting for? George Bush's vanity and these two half-dead old men, Cheney and Rumsfeld, and these disgusting neocons like William Kristol. That's who they're dying for, so that their fantasies, their aging fantasies, their masturbatory fantasies of military global imperialism by the United States can be played out to the tune of hundreds of thousands of people dying. Pro-death. Pro-death is what they are. I'm asking you, Republicans, are you really going to vote these pigs? These filthy, murderous pigs back into office. Are you really going to do that? Are you really going to do that? And you Democrats, if there's a Democrat out there who doesn't go to the polls, and I don't give a damn about the voting machines, like Greg Palast has said so eloquently, make them steal it. Show up in overwhelming numbers and let the media know I voted Democratic. So that when it is stolen, finally, maybe, the American public will do what the public in other countries have done when they've seen their country's elections stolen by neo-fascists here in the past 10, 12 years, right? You know what I'm talking about? Huh? You think so? You think that might happen? God. So what is the mission du jour? Why are we in Iraq tonight? Stay the course? No, not anymore. Benchmarks. Benchmarks! What does that mean? Republican, what does that mean? Benchmarks. They had their elections. They wrote their toy constitution. They installed their puppet. The Bushes kept the oil in the ground to control the market. What more do they want? They love death. That's what they want. They want mass death. They want the streets roiling in blood. They want blood. They want death. They want decapitation. They want arms and legs blown off. That's what they want.
Capture the dynamism and therefore enhance the clarification or the greater precision.
We've never been stay the course.
We'll stay the course until the job is done.
But we will stay the course.
We'll stay the course.
Ah! We must
stay the course. We're just going to
stay the course.
We're going to stay the course in Iraq.
We'll stay the course.
We could only find 8 times where he'd ever use the term stay the course.
There to stay the course.
Stay the course.
We're going to stay the course.
Have the nerve to stay the course.
If we stay the course.
Enhance the clarification.
We're there to stay the course.
We stay the course.
We will stay the course.
And we've never been stay the course.
8 times.
We're there to stay the course.
Stay the course and help them succeed.
We stay the course.
Stay the course.
We'll stay the course.
Stay the course.
We're going to stay the course.
We must stay the course.
Stay the course.
We stay the course.
We'll be right back.
And we're a country of deep compassion. We care. One of the great things about America, one of the beauties of our country, is that when we see a young, innocent child blown up by an IED, we cry.
It's about 10 before the hour. And what about Henry Kissinger? Does he owe anybody an apology? Henry Kissinger, who is one of the architects of the war, the occupation of Iraq. Huh? One of the closet advisors, and you can take that any way you want, of the Bush crime family. This evil, evil, ugly old man, this little gnome who has sat behind how many Republican administrations, like the evil toad sitting someplace with vats of poison, dumping them all over the planet. Henry Kissinger, who has warrants for his arrest for war crimes in how many countries now? 10? 20? Henry Kissinger, who should be in a prison somewhere. Henry Kissinger, who probably should have been executed for treason! Mass murder! What did Henry Kissinger say about our fighting men? Here's what he said. And this is about the Iraq War.
Military men are dumb, stupid animals to be used as pawns for foreign policy.
Now, let me take that out of German Nazi-like accent. He said military men are dumb, stupid animals to be used as pawns for foreign policy. That was in the Woodward and Bernstein's book, The Final Days. Or it was, that's where the quote originally appeared.
Military men are dumb, stupid animals to be used as pawns for foreign policy.
Did he apologize?
Jesus, God.
I'm still waiting for Rumsfeld to apologize for saying that Vietnam draftees had no value in the military. They added nothing to the fight. Or for him telling a soldier there when he asked in Baghdad where their armored vehicles were, you know, you go to war with the military you got, not the military you like. Well, when are those apologies coming?
Yeah, well, Kathy, you know, you have a 2-year-old, so I wouldn't suggest you hold your breath waiting for that one, or Molly will be without a mom. It's really incredible to me that American media, you know, when this thing came up about Kerry, and I don't give a damn how stupid the comment was that Kerry made. I don't happen to think it was stupid, other than the fact that it was politically incorrect to say it given the tempo of the tenor of the times right now. But I'm not going to criticize Kerry. Jesus, what, me criticize Kerry for saying something like that, given the things that I say on this program every night? It was obvious that it was going to be spun into some anti-sergeant somebody from somewhere, Illinois. We knew that the Republicans were going to do that as soon as the words were out of Kerry's mouth. We knew that was going to happen. But it raises the question to me why this corrupt, prostituted, disgusting media in this country, when they quote what Kerry said, why don't they put the quote up there, what Kissinger said? Why don't they put the quote up that Rumsfeld said? Why don't they put the quote up that Cheney said? Why don't they put that up? When the lies were being told about weapons of mass destruction. Well, he gassed his own people. Why didn't American media, every single time the issue came up, put up the picture of Rumsfeld working on behalf of the Reagan administration, shaking hands with Saddam Hussein to seal the deal for poison, chemical weapons, biological weapons, and explosives to use against the Iranians and the Kurds? I hate stupidity. I hate ignorance even more. And, you know, a lot of people have suggested, you know, you're way too hard on Republicans if you want to win them over. That's probably true. But they have access to the same information I have, the same information you have. And I'm not going to make any kind of excuses for a bunch of cracker drones in this country who sit back on their asses and refuse to do just a minimal amount of research. When John Kerry says something about, you know, study hard and do good in school, you're going to wind up in Iraq. And he's referring to George W. Bush. And then it's spun out of control by American media. And the crackers sit back on their butts and go, yeah, well, there's that John Kerry again, insulting the troops. That son of a bitch, you know, I wasn't going to vote. Now I'm going to go vote for my Republican. You know, the Republican Party makes me gag. They're filthy, and they've killed God knows how many. But you know what? I'm not going to sit here and take Kerry's remark. Crackers. Oh, my. What, we're almost out of time for this hour? All right, we will do the sound that of Bush down here in Crackerland in Perry, Georgia, when we come back. Moron sounds. The devil went down to Georgia. And we got the audio. You know, during the day, I'm a real gentle father to my two-year-old. I don't yell at my wife. You know, unless we get into an argument, then we both yell. But and I would imagine that people listen to this program go, Jesus, God, what is... But you know what happens every 24 hours is this stuff builds up, right? Isn't this what this program's all about? And I can't, you know, I just can't... So I apologize for the screaming. I mean, I apologize because you're listening to the program and you're thinking, well, you know, let me tune into talk radio and see what I get, you know, and this freak comes out and yells at you, so...
Molly, eat your cereal! Eat your cereal! Pick up your socks! Get your socks!
I don't do that. You know damn good well I don't do that. Don't say that, Kathy. Oh, my God.
No, the irony is usually I'm the one. Molly, you're driving me crazy!
Oh. Okay, so there's my apology. Everybody's apology. Well, people that don't have to apologize or apologize. So I'm sorry if you just tuned in the program and you're going, Jesus, God, who is this raving maniac? You're right. You're right. You're absolutely right. Who is this raving maniac? My name is Mike Malloy. This is NOVAM Radio. Welcome back. It's about 7 past the hour. Very quickly here, a couple of emails, and then I want to get to Gene. Gene's on hold. We're going to go to Gene first. I asked him to call back last night. Said he'd be the first call tonight. So we're going to go to Gene in a moment here, and then to the Bush sound that we have for you tonight. This is from Angie. Angie writes, "Hi, Mike, I had an idea today I wanted to share with you. Like you, I cannot help but refer to Bush and his despicable crew as bastards, lying bastards. It struck me that it would be much more accurate to call them losers instead. They are losers. It's factual. It's also what they are obsessed with not being perceived as. I can't imagine a better way to get them where it hurts than to keep bringing up the fact that Bush is the biggest loser ever, a disgraceful loser. I've made the switch from using the word bastard to using the word loser, and I hope it catches on and everybody starts saying it. Bush is a loser. Republicans are losers. They are losers. And it's time that word started resonating around them, attached to them, and following them wherever they go." you're probably right, Angie. Losers. But there's something. See, that's why profanity is profanity. You know, it has most profanity has a lot of consonants in it, and it's harsh. I mean, you don't say, "I hate these darn people." But I get your point. And this one's from Earth Mum. She writes, "Mike, first time I'm disagreeing with you. I don't blame media as much as I blame Carrie. I hope I'm wrong, but I think Skull and Bones Carrie helped Junior win the last election because of his phenomenally bad campaign. And now when we are finally making some progress, Carrie opens his mouth and says just the thing that these radical right zealots, pedophiles, killers, and thieves will make a drama over and use against so-called unpatriotic liberals. I think Carrie is part of the Illuminati and part of the big plan and the shadow government. He didn't fight after the last election. He didn't run on issues. Instead, it was all about his military career. He could have had a win if he exposed Junior. He could have run a commercial with Bush in his jumpsuit on the carrier with the whole mission accomplished thing. Carrie's skull and bones, beyond bad campaign, rapid acceptance of the election results, and now the timing of this innocent statement is just too fishy. It's like the Pope's people saying he didn't mean anything when he spoke against Muslims. No way. My Hitler Youth is no fool. And he knew what he was doing, for what it's worth, Earth Mom. Well, Earth Mom is not the only one who's written to me with that suggestion. But I'm sorry, folks. I'm going to have to depart from that one. I can't see Carrie as being, and call me stupid and naive. That's fine. I'm not stupid. Call me naive. That could very well be. But I just don't see Carrie as part of, you know, the Illuminati scheme, but I may be wrong. I mean, what do I know? You know, over here in Decatur, Georgia, the nearest town to us, there's a building that's got the Masonic symbols on it. I don't know. Maybe the Masons are behind this. I have no idea.
And you know, he orders cheese steaks with Swiss cheese on them, not cheese whiz.
Yeah, that's
not
true.
Not whiz wit.
That's true. That's true. I don't know. Maybe Carrie is, what is it? Cheese eating monkey. What is the thing they were saying about the French? Never mind. All right, let's go to the calls here. Gene in New York has been on hold for another hour. Gene, thanks for calling back in. Where were we last night when I asked you to call?
We were, well, before you were talking about the cheese eating surrender monkeys.
There you go. Thank you.
Yes, we were talking about a little bit of everything you were touching on, especially this Mike Stark thing. The business of this blogger in UVA, University of Virginia.
Oh, that's right, who got attacked by George Allen's people.
And he brought charges today. So
oh, did he?
Yes, he did. He announced on his blog, and it also hit a couple of wire service reports, that he is pressing charges against whoever it was in either the GOP or the Allen Goon Squad who decided to assault him. So,
well, good.
So make the popcorn, sit back. This one's going to be a lot of fun. But one thing I wanted to mention is I loved your Halloween show. It was great. The Telltale Heart was terrific. The only thing missing is my favorite sort of horror-related song, Blue Oyster Cult's Don't Fear the Freepers, which you might want to add to next year's playlist.
Don't Fear the Freepers?
Yeah, Don't Fear the Reaper.
Oh, the Reaper. Okay.
Yeah. Or as I like to call it, Don't Fear the Freepers.
I mean, Blue Oyster Cult, my God, they must be in their 70s by now.
They're still touring.
Kathy said she played that. Did you play it, Kathy? She said she played it last night.
I must have been in the reading room taking.
Yeah, you must. you must have been.
Well, there was. Speaking of Stark,
but you know what? Wait a second. I hope Stark doesn't come out tomorrow and apologize for pressing charges.
Oh, I kind of doubt he will. He was on Olbermann tonight talking about the situation, and he not only doesn't seem apologetic, he seems fired up and furious about this. And I've got to say that being able to watch Olbermann at 8 and then get on the internet and listen to you for 3 hours just makes my evening now. Thank God you're back on. And Olbermann was fierce tonight. He ended with another of his special comments, basically calling for Bush to apologize.
Yeah, we watched the rebroadcast because that last hour of 8 to 9, we're getting ready for the program. But at midnight, he's replayed, and that's when we watch it. I like his program. I started talking about his program, I think, Kathy, a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, I said, this is a guy you got to watch. And
we reviewed him the first week he was back on MSNBC and American Politics Journal, and one of our writers out in Chicago said, this is a show to watch. He's great, and it looks like he's going to pull up stories that nobody else is covering.
Yeah,
and the
yeah.
fact that he said it's time for Bush to apologize, I hope will drop a big hint to the candidates that it's time to turn this around. And he also touched on the fact that al-Maliki basically got his way, and at Bush's order, the American troops are no longer looking in Sadr City for this guy who was kidnapped. And it occurred to me, hold it. Stop right there and let this sink into your head, Mike. Do you realize that an American president, to use a little bit of his own terminology, an American president has abandoned an American serviceman in a war zone to the terrorists?
Yeah, how about
to
that?
To the terrorists.
Yeah, why isn't Wolf Blitzer talking about that? I thought the Marines never left their people behind.
Yeah, don't they impeach presidents for that kind of crime?
I would
abandoning
think.
One of our people, and when you top that with this business of trying to get around the Geneva Conventions and waterboard and torture people, God forbid what is happening to that guy right now. This president abandoned an American service person, somebody who protects you and me, to the terrorists.
Well, why isn't it? I wonder what Tony Snow would say if some intrepid member of the White House press corps brought that up tomorrow or the next press conference. What do you think? What do you think, Gene? How do you think Tony Snow would react? What would he say?
Well, you're beginning to sound like the talk radio era America, right? Left-wing extremist fringe.
Oh, my God, you sound just like him. That's scary.
The man scares me. What can I say? I think, you know, it's almost, you just get started and I start channeling Tony Snow. It's, you know, but, and Olbermann just tore into Snow tonight as, I think his term was, earnestly false and falsely earnest when he came out and talked today about John Kerry, which, again, is utter nonsense. They missed the whole point.
Well, I love Olbermann's program, but I will be really impressed with Keith when he finally resorts to calling them rat bastards.
And throw in a son of a bitch.
You can do it. It's cable. It's basic cable, but it's still cable. You can do that. You know.
And that's a basic enough term. I think it cuts right to the quick about this this would-be Texas Air National Guard champagne flyboy.
Oh God.
And his fake service that he walked away from.
That's true. Well, Gene, here comes the commercial break. Listen, thanks for the information on Stark, and also the Tony Snow impression. We're going to have to file that away that you do a great Tony Snow impression in case we ever want to have quote Tony Snow close quote on the program. Thanks, Gene.
You're welcome. Good night.
Take care. Take care.
You too.
If you haven't gone to American Politics Journal, why not? This wouldn't be... Yes, I guess it is.
You're listening to Resistance Radio with Mike Malloy.
It's about 21 past the hour. Diebold Incorporated is insisting that HBO cancel a documentary scheduled to debut tomorrow night, 5 days before the midterm elections. This documentary questions, is that putting it delicately enough, the integrity of Diebold's voting machines? Diebold is calling the program inaccurate and unfair. Of course, they haven't seen the program. The program is titled Hacking Democracy. And the film claims that Diebold voting machines aren't tamper-proof and can be manipulated to change voting results. No! Really? You're kidding me! Why? Why, that could mean that going back 6 years ago, the elections have been No! Oh! My! God! Really? Diebold Election System President David Byrd said in a letter to HBO's president,
"Hacking Democracy is replete with material examples of inaccurate reporting." and we really don't want to see this on your network, because if it is, we will kill children.
I added the last part. According to Mr. Byrd's letter to HBO, inaccuracies in the film include the assertion that Diebold, whose election systems unit is based in Allen, Texas, tabulated more than 40% of the votes cast in the 2000 election, presidential election. 40% of the votes were handled by Diebold 6 years ago. How many votes were stolen from Democratic candidates to Republicans? Huh? Anyone want to guess? A spokesman for HBO, which is a unit of Time Warner, by the way, said,
"We stand by the film. We have no intention of withdrawing it from our schedule. It appears that the film Diebold is responding to is not the film HBO is airing."
I wonder what that means. Okay, that's tomorrow night. Tomorrow night. Kathy, we're going to have to dust off the... We don't have a DVD recorder yet, do we? We're still using tape, aren't we? Jesus.
We have a really cheap DVD recorder that keeps eating DVDs. So, you know.
Well, now that we're working again, maybe.
We need to get a nicer. We need to get one that, you know, when you open it up in the box, it doesn't have lots of loose parts rattling around.
All right. We want to demonstrate for you now the psychopathy or psychopathy. How do you pronounce it? That was experienced down in Perry, Georgia yesterday with President Chucklenuts stumping amongst the crackers in middle Georgia, south Georgia, really. It was the second day in a row that he campaigned in rural Georgia, targeting what this Associated Press writer calls a shrinking slice of America where Republicans think he still can help their election cause. Woo! I like that! And the AP writer, Nedra Pickler, goes on to say he didn't fill the arena at the Georgia National Fairgrounds. Plenty of seats were empty in the back, along with nearly half of the vast floor space. But those who came out for the Halloween night rally were enthusiastic, applauding his call for tax cuts and against gay marriage. Oh, yeah, let's bust the queers again. When everything else fails, stand in front of the crackers and talk about how the queers are going to destroy America. Bush was there to promote this guy, Matt Collins. And having lived in Georgia now for 36 years, I know who Matt Collins is. He's an absolute failure. He's a jackass. He's a typical Republican. He's trying to, he's a former member of Congress who got whipped, and now he's trying to make a comeback. He's trying to get rid of the Democratic Representative Jim Marshall. Collins stood up there and whipped up the crowd by portraying Democrats and their House leader, Nancy Pelosi, as out of touch with Georgia. He used his standard line, "Miss Pelosi, we don't agree with your San Francisco West Coast ideas and values," Collins cried in a loud southern drawl. "Why, hell, that's code for queers, isn't it there, Mac, huh? San Francisco ideas and values, you mean them old faggots, don't you, huh? No, we don't like them down here in Perry, Georgia. No, hell no. We like people that, you know, killed and murder and stuff." Bush, as he took the stage in Perry, Georgia, said, "Just seems like I was here yesterday. I must have Georgia on my mind." No, it's because South Georgia, you moron, Looks the same. He was in Georgia on Monday, I guess. About 130 miles away. Where was he on Monday? I don't know. But anyway. And I like this line. Bush's motorcade route to the fairgrounds passed sparse homes and businesses, most with people standing outside to watch him whiz past under a setting sun. The viewers included a worker outside a Frito-Lay plant, dressed as Fred Flintstone, and another in a kimono, along with a little girl wearing a sparkly fairy costume with trick-or-treat time fast approaching. Oh, my God, a Frito-Lay plant. Yeah, that's manufacturing in South Georgia. Hey, let's go out there and make some tater chips.
Release no more, because everybody have a gun.
Yeah, wouldn't it be great if everybody had a gun? Woo-hoo! Wouldn't it be great if everybody had a gun?
I love being stupid!
Nobody'd ever get shot, because everybody'd have a gun.
Makes sense. Wouldn't it be great if everybody had a gun?
Hey, give me a charter back here, will you?
We can go out and shoot things. We can go out and shoot things. We can go out and shoot things.
We tend to forget. I mean, ours is a society where things are like instant, so therefore history almost is like so far back it doesn't count.
Well, let me see. If we go back about 2,000 years, then I guess you're saying Jesus doesn't count. Isn't that, huh? Ignorant ass. All right, here he is. Chicken Hawk Chuckle Nuts stumping amongst the crackers in Perry, Georgia yesterday. Dim Sun campaigning for one of the very few Republican candidates to have any association with him this election, Matt Collins. And he gave reason number 4,576 for why they hate us. You got to love it. They hate us because of our, wait for it, fair elections.
We face an enemy that is brutal. There is no negotiation with these people.
That's Karl Rove and Limbaugh.
You can't try to talk reason into these totalitarians. They have an ideology.
Yeah.
Make no mistake about it. They believe things.
Yeah, what things? Ooh.
What they really believe is they believe freedom is bad. They can't stand the thought of free societies. And that's why they hate what the United States of America stands for.
Torture.
The ability for people to worship freely.
Torture.
The ability for people to vote and to express their opinion freely.
Yeah, sure. That's what that Diebold thing is all right, huh? They hate us because we have free elections. What a joke. You freak. The Taliban wishes they had criminals as clever as the Bush crime family's boat rigging and boat stealing and boat denying henchmen. They believe things. They have an ideology, and you don't. Make no mistake about it, he says. They believe things. What do they believe, George?
Well?
More unintended irony about information sharing from Manor Monkey as he once again attempts to spin his Constitution-wrecking Patriot Act. Like, who in the hell remembers Patriot Act? The gutting of posse comitatus and the imminent installation of martial law is what we should be focusing on, not the Patriot Act, chuckle nuts. But anyway, here he is again, the Patriot Act, as if it was a good thing or had some measurable impact on preventing terrorism, right?
It may be hard for you to believe, but right around September the 11th, 2001, the folks in charge of protecting you couldn't share intelligence.
Oh!
And so I asked Congress to pass the Patriot Act.
No, you didn't!
To tear down that wall.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Kill me, Kathy.
That
kill me.
That enabled people to share information. This is a war that requires good information in order for this government to do its most important job, which is to protect you.
No, it isn't.
And so therefore, I felt it was important if Al-Qaeda or an Al-Qaeda affiliate was making a phone call into the United States, we better understand what they're calling about.
Oh, really? They're ordering pizza, you dumbass! Is that what the Patriot Act is about? No, it isn't. Ah, you lying freak. And see the crackers down there? They just clap and cheer. No, you dumb freaks. It's about listening to your phone calls. So he asked Congress to pass the Patriot Act? Is there a more blatant lie? Is there a more blatant lie? To tear down that wall? Wait a minute. Who's that remind me of? Tear down that wall. Tear down that wall. Gorbachev. That's right. It reminds me of Gorbachev. This is a war that requires good information. See, he says that stuff without a sense of irony at all. Irony is dead in this country. This administration has murdered it. How can you have irony when this empty-headed freak makes a statement like that? This is a war that requires good information. Jesus God. Yeah, we're up there. We're going to wiretap you crackers. Don't you understand? Because when y'all come out of the ether, one of y'all might decide to pick up one of your squirrel guns and try to lead a farmer's revolt or something down here like they do in China. And when that time comes, we'll know about it because we monitor your phone calls. Now, we realize you folks here in Perry, Georgia still use them hand crank telephones. But by God, if you don't think we can monitor them, too, ho, 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 you've been listening too much to John Kerry. Oh, my God. You know, I'd still get emails from people say, Jesus, why do you live down there? I don't know, the comedy? The dark humor? And so therefore I thought it was important if Al-Qaeda or an Al-Qaeda affiliate was making a phone call in the United States, we better understand what they're calling about. Then, you moron, you shouldn't have fired the gay Arabic language translators, huh? Yeah, we had a bunch of translators could tell us what those, see, I don't speak gibberish, so I didn't know what they were talking about. And we had these old boys, and it turned out they were all queer. So we got rid of them, just like we got rid of Foley. Now we don't know what the hell anybody's saying. Any of y'all queer out here? Any of y'all speak Arabic? Hell, y'all don't even speak English. How's come this stadium's half empty? What the hell's going on here? I'm a president. Still trying to link 9/11 to Iraq. I guess this audience of the chromosomally challenged Fox News fried ditto heads might be the last group of knuckle draggers stupid enough to fall for this lie again. But here they go.
It's important that the United States not forget the lessons of September the 11th, 2001. I assure you I'm not going to forget them.
Oh, Jesus, we
and
love
one
you.
Of important lessons. Is that when we see a threat overseas?
Yeah.
We got to take that threat seriously.
Damn right.
When you see a threat, you just can't hope for the best.
No.
In this day and age where terrorists are capable of inflicting damage on the homeland.
Yeah, that's right.
I saw a threat in Saddam Hussein.
I did.
Members of the United States Congress from both political parties saw that same threat. The United Nations saw the threat. I made the right decision in getting Saddam Hussein out of power.
Woo! Oh, damn, we love you, George. Oh, God, I love you. I love you so much. I'm wetting my pants standing out here in the cow dung here in the back part of this stadium. Jesus, George, I love you. I saw a threat in Saddam Hussein. Then why did your party put him in power and give him weapons? Members of the United States Congress and both political parties saw the same threat.
No. They saw your distorted, fake, false intelligence, your lies, which members of the CIA warned you not to use.
United Nations saw the threat.
No. They saw your trumped-up evidence you sent Uncle Colin out to spoon-feed them.
I made the right decision getting Saddam Hussein out of power. I finally overcame my daddy. I finally overcame my daddy. My daddy would, I did my daddy one better. Damn, I can't wait to sleep with mama. I know that's coming next. Oh, Jesus, help me. My daddy wouldn't go into Baghdad because he had all them peace creeps telling him that there'd be trouble. There ain't no trouble. We're doing great. We're winning the war. I overcame my daddy. Oh, mama, I love you. Damn. I love you more than Jeb does. And them other two. Mama. Daddy's always stood between you and me. But I got Saddam Hussein. I got him. You don't have to worry your beautiful mind no more, Mama. I got that son, bitch. I did.
And then Bush's delusions hit fever pitch. Maybe it's the booze, as he told the middle Georgia morons, the crackers, that the reason we were in Iraq was to stop the death of innocent women and children. And to defend ourselves? Oh, my God. Orwell couldn't have written this better.
Our goal in Iraq is victory. Our goal is for a young democracy to be able to sustain itself, govern itself, and defend itself, and serve as an ally in the war on terror. No question about it, it's tough.
Oh.
It's tough because we face a brutal enemy without conscience. It's tough because the enemy kills innocent men, women, and children. It is tough because they film the atrocities and they broadcast them for the world to see. You see, they believe that the United States does not have the will necessary to complete the mission. That's what they believe. They don't understand this country. We will never run in the face of thugs and assassins. We will defend ourselves.
Oh, my God.
Seagull! Seagull! The dirty Polacks!
Oh, wait a minute. No.
The Iraqis! The dirty Iraqis!
Excuse me, Raisin Brain, but defend ourselves against whom? Against what? Against the 15 Saudis that came to this country in 2001, your friends, and bombed the Christ out of New York? Is that what? What do you say? It's tough because the enemy kills women, innocent men, women, and children. What are we doing over there, George? 650,000 Iraqi civilians have died as a result of your vanity war, so that Mama will love you. You sick, sick man.
They believe the United States doesn't have the will necessary to complete the mission.
No, they don't care about the mission. They just want to drive out what they consider to be the murderous infidels who are killing their, innocent men, women, and children.
No price too high for freedom, so be careful where you tread. And you come along and you stay behind or you can get out. Way. Our troops take out the garbage for the good old USA. I rack 'em up and I roll in the USA. I rack 'em up.
Mother, should I run? President.
No doubt his hatred is mainly directed at us. After all, this is the guy that tried to kill my dad.
And I just wish he would have succeeded.
Mother, should I trust the government?
Mama? Mama? Don't sleep with daddy no more, mama.
No, son. I'll let you in my bed just as soon as your pappy leaves.
When he's talking about victory to the crackers down in South Georgia, did he not read the New York Times this morning, a classified briefing prepared 2 weeks ago by the United States Central Command, which is not run by the Democratic Party, portrays Iraq as edging toward chaos, chaos, not trouble, not civil war, chaos, chaos, in a chart that the military is using as a barometer of civil conflict. If you want to see it, just go to the Times online, look for it. I saw that thing this morning, just about lost my coffee. Chaos. It's a one-page slide shown at an October 18th briefing that provides a glimpse into how the military command that oversees Bush's vanity war is trying to track it, trying to figure out what the hell they're supposed to do. And over there on the right, chaos. On the far left, isn't this interesting? Peace. And then a sliding scale, color-coded. Yes, Jesus Christ, these people like colors, don't they? Over here on the left, peace. And it's green or blue or mauve. And over here on the right, on the far right, red, chaos, chaos. And Bush is talking about victory. This delusional bastard, how much longer? I'm asking you, how much longer? Even you people who consider yourselves to be Republicans, consider yourself to be patriots, you're kidding, right? You've got to be kidding. You can't be serious. You think that supporting this Nazi makes you a patriot? Supporting this war makes you a patriot? Well, this man stands up there and lies to you every single time he opens his mouth, and the military commanders in Iraq are sitting over there not knowing what in the hell to do as that graph inches closer and closer and closer to chaos. Chaos. Not trouble. Not disruption. Not civil war. Not insurgency. Not terrorism. Chaos! Do you know what that word means? It's Greek. His last bit of catapulting the paranoid propaganda for the evening with multiple lies about the Democrats and lots of Rovian fear-mongering rhetoric thrown in for insurance. Here it comes. Apparently Democrats want the terrorists to win. We won't be happy until the streets are littered with dead Americans. And if we elect Democrats, they'll do nothing to stop the evildoers from using nuclear weapons against us. I wonder if he'll apologize for that characterization.
The Democrat approach comes down to this. The terrorists win and America loses.
Me, Tarzan, you monkey!
And that's what's at stake in this election. The Democrats want to get us out of Iraq, and the Republican goal is to win in Iraq.
Here comes the fear.
I want you to understand, in this different kind of war, if we leave Iraq before the job is done, the enemy will follow us here. Envision a world in which people use oil, extremists use oil, as blackmail to the Western world.
Kind of like your buddies do.
Envision a world in which a country which can't stand America has a nuclear weapon. And people will look back and say, what happened to them in the year 2006? How come they couldn't see the impending danger to a generation of young Americans? Why weren't they willing to defend our security at that moment? I see the impending danger.
I see things.
How will you all use all assets at my disposal to do the most important job of the government? And that is defend you.
No,
we will fight
isn't.
In Iraq, and we will win in Iraq.
No, you won't. Seagile. Oops. We will fight in Iraq. We will win in Iraq. And why doesn't he add, I don't give a damn what my military commanders say. I don't care what every rational human being on earth says. I don't care about any of it because I'm down here in Crackerville. I'm here in Crackerville. Crackerville, Crackerville, Crackerville. And I can whip you dumb crackers up. Jesus, I can whip you up. We'll fight in Iraq and we'll win in Iraq.
I see the impending danger. I see shapes moving. I see things when I close my eyes. I see things in my room at night. I see things under the bed. I hear the voices. Jesus talks to me. God talks to me.
Oh, my God. George W. Bush is the biggest terrorist threat that this country has ever known. The biggest terrorist threat, this freak supersedes every nuclear-tipped missile that the Soviet Union had pointed at us for 50 years. Oh, my God. But there he was in Crackerville, and there they were.
We love you, George! Oh, damn, I love you! I love you! Kill him, George! Kill him! Butcher him! All them sons of bitches, they don't even believe in Jesus! I swear to God, George! Kill him, George! Woo! I gotta leave, George. I've gotta go apply for an unemployment check again here.
Welcome back. It's about 7 past the hour. We're going to come to some phone calls here in just about 2 minutes. Our senior correspondent, Chris in Minnesota, who celebrates 29th birthday today, sent me this. It's I don't know where Chris quoted this from, but... you know, the Military Commissions Act of 2006 that Bush recently signed, of course, everyone knows it tosses habeas corpus in the trash heap. Probably the core, most important part of living in a country of laws, in a society of laws, is habeas corpus, which essentially means that when you are charged with a crime, among other things, the government has to prove, or you can challenge their proof, that your constitutional rights are not being violated. In other words, they have to have reason to charge you with something. That's gone now. And it applies to you and me, Truth Seeker. It applies to everybody. Please don't believe this nonsense that only applies to foreigners swept up on the field of battle. That is such a filthy lie. Anyway, here's the quote. President Bush seized this unprecedented power. Oh, also, a posse comitatus is ended, too. Now, that was the law established after the Civil War when the Yankees sent a bunch of evil bastards down here, military, to act as policemen. And even though the South properly got its ass kicked for what it did, the United States military, the Army of Northern Aggression, as it's still referred to down here, was violating the Constitution. So they had to have posse comitatus, and it was passed during Reconstruction, I guess, 1880s, 1870s, somewhere around in there. Don't send me an email because I really don't care when it was passed, but it was passed. And it simply says the military can't be used for police efforts in this country, unlike so many other countries, totalitarian dictatorships, which is what Bush lusts after. Other than his mother, this is the second thing that he lusts after the most. A military fascist dictatorship. So it says here, Bush seized this unprecedented power the very same day that he signed the equally odious Military Commissions Act of 2006. And in a sense, the two laws complement one another. One allows for torture and detention
The other seeks to enforce acquiescence at home. Torture and detention abroad. The other seeks to enforce acquiescence at home, preparing to order the military onto the streets of America. Remember, the term for putting an area under military law enforcement control is precise. The term is martial law. Section 1076 of the Massive Authorization Act, which grants the Pentagon another $500+ billion, is entitled, quote, use of the armed forces in major public emergencies, close quote. Section 333 states, quote, major public emergencies, semicolon. Interference with state and federal law states that the president may employ the armed forces, including the National Guard, in federal service to restore public order and enforce the laws of the United States when, as a result of a natural disaster, oh yeah, epidemic, sure, or other serious public health emergencies, terrorist attack or incident, or other condition in any state or possession of the United States. Other condition. The president determines that domestic violence has occurred to such an extent that the constituted authorities of the state or possession are incapable or refuse or fail in maintaining public order in order to suppress in any state, any insurrection, domestic violence, unlawful combination, or conspiracy. Now, do you know what that means? Do you? For the current president, enforcement of the laws to restore public order means to commandeer guardsmen from any state over the objections of local government, over the objections of the military, over the objections of local police entities, ship them off to another state, conscript them in a law enforcement mode, set them loose against disorderly citizenry. Protesters, possibly? Or maybe those who would object to forced vaccinations and quarantines in the event of a bioterror event? The law also facilitates militarized police roundups and detention of protesters, including so-called illegal aliens, potential terrorists. What is a potential terrorist? Is that me? Kathy, am I a potential terrorist? And other undesirables. For detention in facilities already contracted for and under construction by Halliburton. Now, we know about the detention camps under the so-called immigration emergency. And believe me, I kind of lean with Lou Dobbs where it concerns illegal immigration. I don't want to go there tonight. But this frenzied militarization of the southern border. Detention camps are being constructed right under our noses, refurbished and new ones constructed. The original ones were thanks to Oliver North back in the 80s. Camps designed for anyone who resists the agenda of the Bush crime family. Now, that's where we live. I would assume the crackers don't understand that. The ones standing there in the Georgia state fairgrounds and cheering this maniacal bastard don't understand what he has done. Would these people be cheering like this, knowing that George W. Bush is slowly, inexorably taking this country into fascism? Would they? I'm afraid of the answer to that question, frankly. All right. Somebody sent me this again tonight, and I have it posted up here in the studio on the wall, and because I like it. There are four boxes for use in the defense of liberty: soap, ballot, jury, ammo. Use in that order. One more time. There are four boxes for use in the defense of liberty: soap, ballot, jury, ammo. First three are in real danger, aren't they? All right, let's do some phone calls. Let's start with Virginia, who's been holding on for 2.5 hours. Virginia, welcome to the program. Thanks for your patience.
Mike, how you doing? Welcome back to the Malloys. I'm so happy y'all are back.
Thank you, ma'am.
And happy birthday to your assistant. Very nice for you to recognize it.
Yeah, Kristen in Minnesota, our senior correspondent.
Kristen,
you know, here's the weird part since you brought it up, Virginia. Chris and I have never met. In fact,
oh my God.
In fact, Chris in Minnesota and I have never had a phone conversation in 5 years. If he were to call me tonight, I wouldn't recognize his voice. But but the two of us have corresponded daily for the past 5 years via the internet.
Well, bless the web, and that's one of the things I wanted to point out to people. Well, because you've got such great, so many people listening to you, and Phoenix is sounding very good to me lately, the way it sounds out there. But anyway, moveon.org, I'm disabled, okay? I can't run around very much. Yeah, I live on the pittance of disability after.
Oh, hey, Virginia,
25.
can you hold
All
on
right.
just one more
sure.
second? I got to do a break here. Let me do the Springtime for Hitler thing, and we'll come back and finish up, Virginia. Quick break here, folks. We'll be back. I'm Mike Malloy on Air America, on Nova M.
He's a liberal with a microphone, and that makes him dangerous. It's More Mike Malloy.
Past the hour. Back to Virginia. Thanks for your patience again, Virginia.
No problem. With the who, I can do that all night. Well, listen, I just wanted y'all to know that I'll finish with Carrie, but I want everybody to know first off that even if you can't leave your house, you can phone bank from your house. And if you got the web with moveon.org, they've got some hookup where you could call for Virginia, for all these states where, the races are real close. You can help Webb or all these people out. Yeah, just from your house, as long as you've got those unlimited minutes and.
Yeah, that needs to. I'm glad you're bringing this up. That needs to be done. People, I know a lot of us sometimes feel impotent, immobilized. We don't know what the hell to do.
That's why I looked for them, and they've
right.
been able. You can do it right from your house, man, and you log them all in, and you get the numbers, and you just go right out. They got scripts for you. And anyway, you can look up anything you want to know and answer anyone's questions. And I've talked some people into it, even some real scuzzy people who want to just bomb the hell out of, Baghdad and, hate queers and everything else. But, you can work anybody if you really try,
Well, I really respect folks like you who can dialogue or convince people to change your mind about stuff. I can't do it. I gave up.
Well, that's
a long
why
time
I
ago.
Listen to you because after a couple of hours of doing that, I need to listen to how I really feel and get some confirmation before I lose my mind. Because
right.
I talk to some fools.
I hear that.
And over here we got some really weird thing happened today, and I thought, my God, that Peter Collins guy right before you.
Yeah.
He had this dude on talking about the Prop 89 here in California to get public financing of our campaigns.
Yeah.
And, Peter mentioned that the California Teachers Association was against it. So I'm freaked out. I'm like, what is that about? I used to be a teacher. What kind of nonsense is this?
Uh-huh.
And I called him up, and this chick lied to me about the League of Women Voters. This is the most outside thing I've ever heard, Mike.
What'd she say?
Because I said, I can't... you know, why you guys are not supporting this? And she says, well, you know, it still leaves it limits us to 10 grand, you know, and la-di-da-di-da. And anyway, it's, you know, our biggest enemy is rich individuals, not the corporations. The nurses are supporting it because the corporations are their biggest enemy. And I said, well, I can't, like, pull the lever, quote unquote, for a public campaign financing against the public campaign, you know, public campaign financing proposition when the League of Women Voters supports it, but I still don't understand your thing. And she says, oh, no, the League of Women Voters is reconsidering it. They're on my voters pamphlet as endorsing Prop 89 along with the nurses and SEIU and all these folks and the California teachers, I mean, the LA teachers and stuff. And I'm like, wait a minute. Thank God I called the League of Women Voters, because she told me that was a straight-up lie. They had reconsidered it. The biggest people pushing them to reconsider it were the corporations wanted them to consider this one little paragraph. And
let me just add.
Is that the most out thing you ever heard?
Well, it is.
What are we doing to each other?
It is. And I think examples of what you're talking about, Virginia, can be found in just damn near any state in the union. Maybe a different issue, maybe a different organization, but the same thing over
dude,
and over.
That's
why
people get so disgusted,
right,
you know?
And you got to be able to penetrate through the BS. Virginia, listen, I got to move on. Thank you. I appreciate
it. Well, now, I'm curious. Just forget about it. If they're so stupid, they don't get the joke. They obviously shouldn't be an orphan.
There you go.
What's the point?
There you
later,
go.
Sweetheart. Glad to have you
okay.
back.
Okay. Thanks, Virginia. Take care. Will is calling from Michigan. Will, welcome to the program. You've only been holding on a little over 2 hours, so I don't hear any complaining, right?
Hey, Mike, what's the difference between a Bush Republican and a newborn kitten?
Is this something that can play over family radio?
After a couple of weeks, the kitten will open its eyes.
Okay.
What I really called to talk to you about is I want to get the word out about a demonstration we're doing in front of the Capitol building here in Michigan.
Okay, that would be in Lansing?
Yes. We're marking the milestone of the 100th soldier from Michigan being killed in Iraq. It happened Sunday. It was confirmed by the Pentagon yesterday.
Oh, no.
I've been asked as a veteran of Desert Storm and a member of the Greater Lansing Network Against War and Injustice to read an opening statement, and then we're going to read the names of Michigan's war dead.
And when is this?
It's going to be Friday at noon.
It's day after tomorrow.
Yep.
Okay. And where at?
Right in front of the Capitol building on the corner of Capitol and Michigan Avenues.
Okay.
And I wanted to address that story you talked about last night, Camp Falcon, the ammo dump.
Yeah.
From what I've read about it, it sounds like when the Democrats get a hold of the House, they need to call up Major General Thurman, commander of the 4th Infantry Division, and call into account for the mistakes that were made. Because first of all, you don't hire.
Hey, hold on a second, Will. Hold on. A soldier of an angry call. Soldiers on foreign soil. Well, we're not here to fight your war, 'cause we know what you're fighting for.
Mike Malloy Show, you are now entering a flying monkey free zone. I am the promise never broken, and my arms are never open.
In this harbor. Welcome back. It's about 25 before the hour. Phone number here is, God, I haven't done this all night. I'm sorry, 800-989-1480. Write it down, because, you know, I always forget to do it. 800-989-1480. All right, back to your phone calls. Paul is calling from Waleska. Oh, I'm sorry, Will. Will was holding from Michigan. I'm sorry, Will. I'm just.
That's all right, Mike. What I was saying is, I think the once the Dems get a hold of the House, the Armed Services Committee needs to subpoena Major General Thurman of the 4th Infantry to account for the mistakes made in that ammo dump attack.
You know, I'm still not clear on. I watched the video and it was really shocking, but I've also heard other reports that say no American personnel were killed in that, and I would think that had there been American casualties,
well,
that the news would be out. Somebody would have it out there.
Those reports came from Stars and Stripes.
The reports of no casualties?
Yeah.
Okay.
And Stars and Stripes is just, you know, just the government mouthpiece, of course. I mean, it's the newspaper of the armed services.
But I've seen stuff in Stars and Stripes that was pretty, you know, you could interpret it as being not following the party line. Not true in this case?
I don't think so.
So the reports I've seen first said there were like up to 300 dead Americans as a result of that those explosions at the ammo dump. Do you think that's a true figure?
I don't know about the casualty figures, but from what I've read, and I've been researching this since I got off work today. First of all, they hired Iraqis to help build the base, and that is just asking for an ass kicking.
You mean the ammo dump, the area where this thing occurred?
The insurgents obviously knew the layout of the base,
right?
Because they aimed right for the ammo dump.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
And the second mistake, they had the entire division's inventory of tank ammunition, or tank artillery and small arms ammunition in one location within range of possible mortar fire.
Isn't this insane? Who? What military mid-level commander in so many of these instances is making these kinds of obviously insane tactical decisions? How does this happen, Will? You're a veteran. You tell me, how does this happen?
I don't have a clue.
These captains and majors and lieutenant colonels can't all be just half-witted jackasses who don't understand the situation they're in. They can't all be that way, can they?
I tell you what I think is this war is being micromanaged by the suits, not the uniforms.
So you think that the decisions like this, where to place an ammo dump within the perimeter of a military camp or reservation, you think that decision is made by people in Washington?
I think it's being made by the suits in the Pentagon.
Oh, my God. Well, I agree with you, Will. I would hope, and you and I both know it's probably not going to happen because the Democrats are terrified to do this. But if they ever did get control of the executive and the legislative branch, I don't care when that is, to start issuing subpoenas to bring some of these people in for questioning and put them on trial for what they've done. I agree with you. It should be done, but I don't think it's going to. I don't think it's going to happen.
Well, if the Dems get the House next week, I'm looking here on my computer real quick. Ike Skelton gets the chair of Armed Services.
Well, let's hope something happens. Will, it's always good to hear from you. Appreciate it. Good luck with the demo on Friday. That's a poor choice of words. It's a horrible, horrible thing to be commemorating 100 dead.
We're calling it a vigil.
A vigil. All right. Let us know. When is it? What time Friday?
Friday from noon to 1.
Okay. Hope to hear from you Friday night, okay?
Thanks.
All right, Will. Appreciate it. Appreciate it very much. Thank you. Jesus. 100 dead of soldiers in from Michigan. If that number were equal in every state, we'd have 5,000 dead instead of approaching 3,000. I had no idea that the roll call of dead soldiers and Marines from Michigan was so high. This filthy Bush administration, I swear to God. I swear to God. Paul now is calling from Waleska, Georgia. Paul, welcome to the program. Thanks for your patience.
Thanks, Mike. Thanks for doing your show, too.
Thank you for tuning in.
A couple things. One, not all the media is going along with all this John Kerry stuff, because I was watching Court TV and Catherine Cryer was on, and she was going over most of the same things you were. She doesn't want apologies. She wants to know why Halliburton is not being prosecuted for stealing our money and why...
Really? Did Judge Cryer say that? You know, she's a former judge from Texas.
Yeah, she was on. It was on her last, like the last segment she goes just before the end of her show, where she talks about something.
I'll be damned.
And she was telling that George Bush needs to apologize for not bringing enough troops over when he was told to.
Well,
buy
good for her. So we've got Keith Olbermann and Catherine Cryer, who are using television to talk the truth. I'll be damned.
Yeah, I was really shocked.
I don't watch Court TV because I just don't find that much appealing. About that channel, maybe I've misunderstood what it's all about, but I know when Catherine Cryer worked at CNN, she was hired. I was working at CNN International when she was hired. She was hired by Ted Turner himself to work at CNN because he really respected her history as a judge, and she made the transition from the bench to television commentary or television hosting. Very, very, very smoothly. So I'm glad to hear that that she's going after the Bush crime family too. That's good to know.
Yeah, and one of the things I had heard on her that I never heard before was that one of the companies here had purchased a whole bunch of used forklifts, repaint them, and then charged the government for brand new ones, and some of them didn't even work.
There was a time in this country when that sort of thing would put these bastards in a prison.
Exactly.
You know, and there are other countries where that sort of thing would put them in front of a firing squad.
And one quick thing about, you were talking about how dumb some of the people are down here. I'm from New York originally. We moved down with my wife a few years ago. But there's a woman I work with who calls all people who vote and are Democrats communists. And then she turns around and doesn't work all the time because she doesn't want to get her Social Security taken away because her husband died a few years ago for her children. I thought those people were supposed to pull themselves up by the bootstraps.
Yeah, sure they
are. For three jobs, right?
Is your wife from the South?
Oh, no. We're both from New York. She just got transferred down here for a promotion for her job.
But
hopefully
Waleska,
for another year we'll get to move back.
Waleska, Georgia, that's right on the lip of hell.
Yeah, it's right in, you know, not far from Canton. But, yeah, there's a lot of hillbillies and everything else around here. So.
Well, you're not that far from Atlanta. I guess you can come in the city when you need to breathe some polluted air.
Yeah.
All right. Paul, good to hear from you. Thank you very much. Stay in touch, okay?
Sure.
All right. I appreciate
Bye.
It. Yeah, I always ask... When I hear somebody say, well, you know, my wife and I moved down here because, you know, I'm married to a Southern woman. Right, Kathy? Aren't you?
Shut your mouth.
I'm married to a woman who was born and raised in Decatur, Georgia. Huh? Went to high school, started your college career over here at Georgia State. No, at Mercer, a Baptist university, didn't you? What the hell happened to you? What happened to you? You going to a good Baptist university to get your degree?
I spit out the Kool-Aid.
And look at you now. You must have taken the red pill, huh? I love this music. This is NoVam Radio. Kickback, here we go. First time I heard this, I thought, what in the hell is this? From the land of Oz! Get it right here. Get it. Get it. Get it. Get it. Get it!
You got it.
Boom, boom, bang, 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 bang. Boom, 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 bang, 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 bang. I love the way you walk, and I love the way you talk.
Ready for a liberal helping of truth? It's more of Mike Malloy.
And you talk that talk. You knocks me out off of my feet.
It's about 10 before the hour. That dead air was my fault. I got so wrapped up. I love that long musical bridge in Radar Love. So Kathy hits it, and I'm pounding on stuff in here, and I guess I jiggled loose the mini disc player. I'm sorry. When are we going to get this stuff on computers so I can bang and jump and scream and shout and whew. Anyway, that dead air, 10 seconds of dead air, brought to you by Mike Malloy. Sorry, but thanks to the crew that put the program together tonight, without whom we would just be sitting here staring off into the darkness in the north foothills of the North Georgia Mountains. The program was engineered by Billy Foster. Our associate producer, how about that, is Kim Macias. She also handled your phone calls. Our senior correspondent is a birthday boy, Chris in Minnesota, who's 29. The webmaster at MikeMalloy.com is Mark Marshall. Ben Birch, White Rose Society Archives, the program provides the podcasting, I believe, and podcasting and downloads of this program are now available at NovaMRadio.com. So in response to the request for that, it's now available. All right? And we're slowly working the bugs out here. And again, apologize for the dead air. There's nothing worse in radio than dead air, right? You're just sitting there going, oh, Jesus, what is that? What's that? Back to your calls. Lee is calling from Oregon. Lee, welcome to the program. Thanks for your patience.
Hi.
Hey, Lee.
I think Chuckle Nuts had that soldier kidnapped in Iraq.
You do?
And then he's going to be released just before the election. It's going to dominate the news, and everybody's going to feel good.
Oh, my God. Don't tell me that.
That's my prediction.
Don't say that.
And the next thing is why aren't any Democrats talking about, you hear Bush, we got to win. Why don't we go back to Vietnam and start killing people, and maybe we can still win the second time there?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, nobody learned anything. Well, I mean, what happened in Vietnam and all of the death and stuff, and then nothing. 20 years, and then so nothing happened bad there, and they're still chugging along. But, we could still go back there.
The Vietnam conflict still just enrages me every time I think about it. Vietnam is becoming a huge exporter to the United States.
I know.
We do business with them.
Yep.
There is a Vietnamese-American Chamber of Commerce, for Christ's sake. And I think about all the blood and head-busting that occurred in this country and all the charges back in the late 60s, early 70s, that people who were against the war were somehow unpatriotic, and the machine in this country just kept the killing going and kept the killing going. 58,000 Americans dead, and now we do business with Vietnam and want more of it and more of it and more of it, and not a single country around Vietnam fell to communism because we got our asses whipped there. And I remember the domino theory, and I'll tell you, it just enrages me, Lee, when I think about Vietnam. When I think about how the war protesters, how all of us 40 years ago were absolutely right, absolutely correct, and now look what's going on. And I think about that wall, Maya Lin's memorial in D.C. with 58,000 names on it, and I swear to Christ I want to kill somebody. I just absolutely almost go berserk.
But see, the Republicans figured out, though, now that communism is good for them and their business.
Yeah.
They can just roll in like a bunch of gangsters, and they can just pull in
get
the big
cheap labor, get all kinds of cheap labor.
Yeah.
And,
bring the corporations in. There's, try to get a union together, just kill the leaders and stuff. in the court system, no court system, no environmental laws. They figured out communism is good for their
people. How can we all be in this country so blatantly stupid about this? How does this happen?
I don't know, because I joined Greenpeace when I was 7 years old. Kids were buying popsicles, and I saved my money, and I sent it in to Greenpeace. And I don't know if you're just born this way, but I know an awful lot of people that have no idea what's going on.
Well, we are born that way. We're a clean slate when we're born. We don't know squat, but we have an obligation, or our parents or somebody does, to educate us, to tell us what the weather is, and which way is up, and which way is down, and what constitutes moral behavior. There's something about Republicans that I'm afraid that their parents or their church leaders or their teachers or whoever it was that was in control of them did not give them a sense of morality, did not give them a sense of justice, did not give them a sense of fair play. But again, I go back to that Vietnam thing. I remember about 3 or 4 years ago when I found out that Colin Powell, when he was Secretary of State, and he got together. It's an annual event in Hanoi. You remember Hanoi? He got together there with a bunch of people from the Southeast Asian trading partners, including the United States, and they do a skit night. And I saw some video from Hanoi with Colin Powell on a stage in Hanoi, dressed like a caricature of a South Sea Island hula woman or something, with coconuts on his chest to simulate breasts and a grass skirt, making an absolute ass of himself. Colin Powell, who when he was a colonel assisted in covering up the slaughter at My Lai. And I saw that, and I thought to myself, Jesus Christ, what has happened? What has happened? And I think about those 58,000 names on that wall, and I just go insanely. It gets to the point where I don't know if I can. And we're doing it again in Iraq, and we're going to do it again in Afghanistan, and we're going to do it wherever this Bush crime family takes us.
But one difference, I think, is that the Afghans and the Iraqi people, they're not going to forget as easily as the Vietnamese people did.
I guess
so. And so I think, unfortunately, which I obviously don't want to see, is I think that we're going to be living with this problem a long time.
I hear you. Lee, I got to leave it.
Okay, bye.
Thanks for checking in, pal. I appreciate it. All right, Truth Seekers, John Leish will be on the program tomorrow. He's going to unseat the phenomenally corrupt Dennis Hastert. I'll see you tomorrow night. Take care, okay? Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy.